movies, music, television, and more. This is
Entertainment.
Rebooted.
Only on WZIP.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Entertainment Rebooted. My name is Nicole, and today I will be talking about season one of Bridgerton. If you are unaware of what Bridgerton is, then I hate to break it to you, but I think you're living under a rock. Obviously, I'm joking. Bridgerton came out on Netflix on December 25th of 2020. It is based on the book series by Julia Quinn, and it follows the 8 siblings of the Bridgerton family as they find love in Regency London. It is rated TVMA, so proceed with caution if you are going to watch it. It has been one of my favorite series, if not my favorite, of the past few years. It has definitely become one of my favorite period pieces. Everything works so well together to tell this story. You got the costumes, hair, makeup, set design, and so much more to create a beautiful piece of work that I will definitely talk more about in a bit. Season 1 was a perfect way to start this season off on the right track. I was hooked from the start and was excited for season 2, and I'm even more excited for season 3. I cannot forget about the spinoff, of course, with one of the characters as well. I love everything about this series. There is so much to get into, so I won't talk any longer. If you enjoyed period pieces with little modern twists, then you'll enjoy this show. So that concludes my spoiler-free section of the episode. If you haven't already watched season 1 of Bridgerton, then stop here. I'm pretty sure I'll warn you more than once throughout the next few minutes, but stop here and come back after you've watched season 1. While you're at it, go watch all the other seasons that are out too, because they're amazing. So let's get into episode 1 of Bridgerton. Julie Andrews as Lady Whistledown. I later found out that this is basically a period piece based on Gossip Girl. We then go into the Feathering household where they are getting ready to be presented into society. After that, we hop over to Bridgerton household where they're doing the same thing, but they are waiting on their oldest daughter, Daphne. Here we get one of my favorite lines of the whole episode, which is said by Eloise. She yells up at Daphne to hurry up, and then she turns around to her brothers and said, "Don't you think she heard me?" Which is hilarious and makes her one of my favorite characters from the very beginning. We then meet the oldest Bridgerton, Anthony, when he's running late because he's with Sienna, who is an opera singer. Next we go to when all the ladies are presented to Queen Charlotte, and she must choose one of them to be her diamond of the season. She ends up choosing Daphne to be her diamond of the season, which isn't a surprise, because we know that she is the main character of the show based on her opening walk into society, because she just looked beautiful and just deserves to be the diamond of the season. Later on, we then meet the Duke of Hastings, whose name is Simon, when he rides up to Lady Danbury's house. And right off the bat, we can tell that he definitely means business, because you can definitely tell that he is of higher power. Next, we are at the first ball of the season, which is at Lady Danbury's house. And you can definitely tell that all the boys want Daphne because she was named the Diamond of the Season. And this is where many people will grow to dislike Anthony because he tries to keep everyone away from Daphne. And later on, in an attempt to run away from Lord Burbrook, she runs into the Duke. And later that night when she tries to get away from him again, she and Simon come up with a plan to fake date so they can solve the problems. So all the ladies can stay away from the Duke, and Lord Burbrook especially can stay away from Daphne. And early on, even before, I think it's before the ball even starts, we learn that the Featheringtons are taking in one of their cousins, Marina, to be a part of their family for the social season. And you can definitely see that Lady Featherington takes her as more of a challenge against her own daughters who are in society. That then brings us to episode 2, where it starts with a flashback of Simon's birth, and we find out that his mother has passed away. As he grows up, he has a stutter which his father doesn't approve of. And because of this, a maid takes him under her reign until Lady Danbury comes and takes care of him. And because of this, Simon tells his father that he will never have children. In present day, Simon and Daphne continue their plan. At a ball, Simon tells Anthony what Lord Burbrook did in the garden. Lord Burbrook demands for Daphne to marry him, or he'll lie to Lady Whistledown. And because of this, Lady Bridgerton invites his mom to tea to get gossip on him from the maids. And because of this, she finds out that he has a child by one of his maids. And so all the ladies gossip around the town until it gets to Lady Whistledown, which I thought was very, very clever. I feel like I would do something like that because it's very strategic in a way. And also during that time, there wasn't much they could do except for talk. So it gets to Lady Whistledown, and then because of this, Lord Burbrook is basically sent away. And also in this episode, we find out that Marina is pregnant by an old lover, who is George, and we find out that he is off in battle and they've been sending letters back and forth. But Penelope finds out and tells Eloise, which stirs up a funny little conversation because ladies back in this time, they really didn't know that much about that sort of stuff. Now we're on to episode 3. And in this episode, Daphne turns down 3 proposals, and at the next ball, Queen Charlotte brings her nephew Prince Friedrich of Prussia, and she introduces him to Daphne, which Daphne is totally not interested in him at all. There is a funny scene between her and Simon, where they guess what he's about to say to her, and he definitely does say it, so she laughs, and she kind of snorts a little bit, which is very funny. But you can definitely tell that Daphne is only interested in Simon. And later, I don't know if it's that night or one night, they're having a talk and she asks Anthony why Simon doesn't want to get married, and he tells her a little bit about his upbringing. And also in this episode, I don't know if it's this episode or it was the last one, but Lady Featherington learns about Marina's pregnancy and tries to get her back into society as soon as possible. She tries to do this so no one knows that Marina is pregnant. Because we all know in that time, that wasn't taken too lightly to anybody, especially men. Don't even get me started. Also, I think in this episode is when Simon just tries to break it off with Daphne. So she's upset about that. But I think that's towards the end, which that brings us to episode 4, which is when Prince Friedrich gives Daphne a diamond necklace, but all she can think about is Simon. When her mom and her are talking, and the mom knows that there was something between Simon and Daphne, Daphne decides to tell her what was going on with Simon and their plan, and that everything that she saw was a lie. And at the same time this conversation is going on, Lady Danbury tells Simon to propose to Daphne if he really loves her. And we get this entire monologue about where they talk about Queen Charlotte and how her and the king basically broke the society of race in a way, that they were divided before, but now they're sort of together, especially because of what happened with the king and queen. But the prince tries to propose to Daphne at the next ball, but she runs away. She ends up in the garden again, of course, and she rips off the necklace and runs away. And I know there's this one YouTube channel, they're called the Pink Popcasts, and they did reactions to all the Bridgertons seasons, and they're very funny, so I encourage you to go watch if you have seen Bridgerton. But it's very funny how they keep talking about the necklace, because she did leave it there, and it didn't strike my mind until I watched those videos that she did actually just leave a diamond necklace in a garden and just ran away. So that was mind-blowing when I did discover that she did that. I guess it kind of shows that she doesn't care about the prince as much as she does Simon, but still I don't think it's okay to just leave jewelry around, because I'm pretty sure diamonds, they seem very, very expensive, so just saying. But of course she's in the garden, and then Simon, I guess, saw her run out, so he goes after her, and they are caught by Anthony, who seems very mad. And then he tells Simon that he must marry Daphne, but Simon refuses, and then they decide to duel at dawn, which seems very correct at that time period. Daphne interrupts and says that her and Simon are to be married, and that's where we conclude the episode. So that was very much, I guess, since it's like halfway through, because there's 8 episodes, so it's halfway through the season, so something Jurassic had to happen, so I guess that seems appropriate. Then we go to episode 5, where Daphne tells her mom that she's engaged to Simon, and her mom seems very, very happy. Because at first she thought she was saying that she was engaged to the prince, and you can tell on... Her name is Violet. You can tell on her face that she's happy for her daughter if she was going to marry the prince, but you can tell that she really wanted her to marry Simon. And obviously, since she didn't say yes to the prince, the queen is a little mad and doesn't approve of their marriage at first. It takes some convincing from both of them to the queen that they actually really love each other. And here we have a very heartfelt monologue by Simon, which is very sweet. So they are approved by the queen for that. So they get married, but they barely speak to each other throughout their reception. It isn't until they're at their honeymoon where they declare they actually do love each other. And back at home, Colin announces that he proposed to Marina, which, surprise, surprise, Anthony isn't happy about. And the queen wants Eloise to find Lady Whistledown, because she's obviously... All of these episodes leading up, they did show that Lady Whistledown was writing about everybody, and a new issue came out, so... And most of them, well, some of them, were about the queen, so I guess she's a... It's understandable that she would be mad, because it's a gossip sheet, and she's talking about the highest rank that is out there, so it's understandable why she would be mad. But that leads us to episode 6, where Daphne and Simon arrived at their estate, and she meets all of the staff. And there's this one... I guess she's like the head of the maids. You can tell that she really doesn't take a liking to Daphne as like the new duchess because she really loved the old one, which was Simon's mother. And there's this scene where they're looking at her portrait and the maid's name, but she's gives Daphne a little side eye, which is a little eee. But they show all Simon and Daphne being all happy, but that quickly goes downhill when Daphne finds out that he won't have kids when he told her that he can't have kids, if you understand the difference. So she gets really mad about that. And back where everyone else is, Penelope sends in a letter to Lady Whistledown about Marina's plans for Colin, which her and Lady Featherington came up with a plan to make Colin believe that Marina's baby is actually his baby. So that's what Penelope sends in a letter to Lady Whistledown about. And the news comes out that she is pregnant. So that's where we leave off that episode. I kind of understand both perspectives. Obviously, Penelope cares about Colin and doesn't want him to be... Because obviously she loves him, too, and has a little crush on him, which she doesn't admit to until Marina tells her that she does. But I kind of understand, obviously, she doesn't want Colin to be upset or anything. And she doesn't want him to be... I don't want to say, like, trapped, because obviously... But I guess she doesn't want him to be, I guess, grown up in a way. Because that's obviously what a baby would do. But I also get Marina's side also, because she believes that the father of her baby, which is George, isn't coming back to her. So she has no choice but to have this other guy become like a father figure to her baby. And that takes us to episode 7, where Daphne and Simon return because of the news from Lady Whistledown. And we learn that Daphne turns out not to be pregnant, which they... thought that she could have been because obviously all that lying from Simon. Because of this, Simon comes clean about why he lied and everything that went on with his father, but still didn't tell her like the whole thing, told her a little bit. And Daphne tries to help Marina's situation, but Marina takes matters into her own hands when she drinks a tea and passes out, only to be found by Penelope. And we also find out that Eloise thinks the dressmaker, Lady Delacroix, is Lady Whistledown. Which also, I can't say, because I don't really... Obviously, now I know, but at this point in the series, when I was watching, I had no idea who it could be myself, so I just went along with what Eloise thought. But then also Lady Delacroix shuts her down. And that takes us to episode 8, where Marina meets George's brother, who tells her he passed away in battle. So that's why he wasn't talking to her. She discovers that she's still pregnant, and despite what she tried to do with the tea, and decides to go with George's brother, whose name is Philip, to live with him, and he can be the father of her baby. Simon and Daphne host the last ball of the season in this episode, and Daphne finds out more about Simon's past through letters that he tried to send his father, but wasn't getting anything back from him. She reassures him that she still loves him, despite what he had lied about. Obviously, he had his little monologue with the queen, so she has to have her little monologue. And obviously, it has to be raining, which makes it even more romantic. And then we fast forward to when they have a baby, and they have a little moment where they have to name it. And Simon says that it must start with an A, because that basically that's the tradition. Because the Bridgertons are a family of 8 kids, so they all their names are in alphabetical order. Because there's Anthony, Benedict, Colin, Daphne, Eloise, Francesca, Gregory, and then Hyacinth. So there's 8 kids, A through H. So obviously that's really cute, going along with the tradition again. I kind of forget what they named their child, but pretty sure I'll remember in a second, maybe. But we end this episode and this season with a very much-needed reveal of Lady Whistledown. And if anybody was still listening and you haven't watched the series, I'm giving one final spoiler alert, because this is a big one. We find out that Lady Whistledown is, pause for dramatic effect, Penelope. Which, it is really shocking, because that's Eloise's best friend, and this whole time Eloise is trying to find out who Lady Whistledown is. It turns out to be her best friend, which is all around shocking. And also the way they revealed it too is very good, because they show her with like a cloak over her head, like a hood over her head, and then she takes it off, and obviously you can see by her red hair, because all of the Featheringtons, all of the women in the Featheringtons have red hair. So I had a feeling it was going to be one of them, because I saw that red hair first before I actually saw the face. But also, like I mentioned before, I didn't know who it could be, because obviously I went along with Eloise thinking it was Lady Delacroix, because obviously she, you would think it wouldn't be someone so near to them that would go to like all the parties, but you think it would be someone that definitely hears gossip, which would be, you would think it would be a dressmaker, because as they're getting their dresses done, they probably talk. It's like this society's hairdressers, because I'm pretty sure we all talk to our hairdressers and give them all the gossip, so it's kind of the same thing. But it does kind of make sense that it would be Penelope, because she did hear about all the marina drama, so she would be the one that actually sent it in. She wrote it herself. So my overall thoughts about this season, which I loved it, my top favorite characters were Benedict, Eloise, and Lady Danbury. Even though they weren't like the main characters of the season, because those were Simon and Daphne, they still were my favorite because they all around iconic. And also, I'm pretty sure everyone who watches the series has a certain Bridgerton boy that they like, and mine is definitely Benedict. I'm still waiting for his season. I may talk about that if I do another one of these for like season 2 or even Queen Charlotte spinoff series. I thought it was a perfect way, the season was a perfect way to jumpstart a new series, and I can't wait for more seasons. Like I said before, I'm waiting for Benedict. Also, I enjoy that every season, because it's called Bridgerton, obviously, so I'm pretty sure there's going to be like 8 seasons, because there's 8 kids, and every season is based on a kid's love story. So we have Daphne was the first season, the second season's Anthony's, which I'm pretty sure I'll talk about, maybe. Then the third season, which is coming out soon, is Colin's season, which everyone thought it was going to be Benedict's season, but obviously stuff happens season 2. We'll probably talk about it, but I feel like it has to be Colin's season. And then there's a spin-off series with Queen Charlotte where they show like her love story and how that began. So obviously I can't wait for more seasons, like I said before. I can't wait for season 3, which is Colin's season, like I said. It's definitely, obviously it's said to be split into 2 parts, which is okay. It's not my favorite that they do that, but, and also they said that something's gonna happen that's big at the end of the halfway mark, which excited and scared for, but definitely need more Bridgerton in my life. I might even go do a rewatch just to get myself prepared for the 3rd season. But anyway, if you love period pieces, pretty sure you'll enjoy this one. I didn't even talk about that. Especially period pieces with a modern twist, which is the fact that they use actual songs, but they have them instrumental. They use today's songs, but they have them like played on actual like instruments, so they're instrumental. So it'd be like actually what it would be like playing in that time period. And there's a moment where Daphne, in the first episode, she walks into the first ball, and Thank You Next is playing by Ariana Grande, which that moment is just iconic now. Like I said, if you love period pieces, especially ones with that modern twist on them, because I definitely use when I'm having trouble like studying or doing homework, I turn on those songs and they just keep me focused. I don't know why. Something that goes on in my brain, they help. But I'm pretty sure you'll enjoy this series if you want to watch it. I'm giving you the permission now because it is just amazing. And also, I love period pieces, so obviously I had a feeling I was gonna love this one, even if I just now watched it, like many people probably are. But I do encourage you to go and watch it. There's two seasons out now of the regular Bridgerton, and then you have the spinoff with Queen Charlotte, and now we're just waiting on season 3, which comes out, the first part comes out in May, and then the second part comes out in June, which you have plenty of time now to go and watch it, so go on. Anyway, thank you for listening to another episode of Entertainment Rebooted.